That recession, experts are now thinking not anytime soon. I'm David Brancaccio. Recession no longer seems right around the corner. The National Association for Business Economics systematically polls its members, and the president of that association is a familiar voice on this program. It's economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. She's here now with the latest findings. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's the consensus here? Could get a recession, but maybe not quite as quickly as some people had been thinking?
Well, in a way, David, the consensus is no consensus. There's just a real spread of views amongst economists right now. And yes, in general, expectations for timing of a recession have been pushed back. There's still a majority that think one will happen within the next 12 months, but that has declined since our December survey.
So if someone chooses to be an optimist among our listeners this morning, they can find grown-up, legitimate economists who think maybe we won't get a recession this year.
That's right. And it's following the data. The data in particular show a labor market that is nowhere close to a recession. We have a 50-year low in the unemployment rate and still strong job gains. So that's kind of one of the defining characteristics of a recession: job losses, rising unemployment.
Economist Julia Coronado is also a professor at the University of Texas, Austin, and president of the National Association for Business Economics. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Federal regulators are flagging some things banks might want to watch out for with cryptocurrencies. Not rules, but advice. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
A joint statement from the Federal Reserve, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency encourages banks to watch out for liquidity risks from exposure to cryptocurrencies. The agencies say banks need to make sure they're applying risk management strategies, keeping in mind the unique volatility of the assets. This is the second such statement from banking regulators since the collapse of the FTX crypto exchange last year. A January statement laid out 8 key risks for banks that dabble in crypto, including fraud and scams, legal uncertainty, and lack of governance. Still, the agencies highlight that they are not prohibiting or discouraging banks from getting involved in the industry, just promoting some extra caution. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
During pandemic, people on food stamps got more. By Wednesday, the first of the new month, the extra SNAP payments will end in 32 states. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities calculates the benefits will fall by $95 a month at a time pandemic infections are receding while inflation is still running high. As you go to work on this Monday, what's your posture? Pencils and keyboards in battle position, ready to beast, or something less? A new report finds that what we get done in a given amount of time is lagging, and if we got the tools we need to get more done, we would fix a lot of what ails us. It's an argument in part about the need to retrain workers so they have the skills a changing economy needs. Olivia White is a director at the McKinsey Global Institute, which put together this report. Welcome.
Thank you so much, David.
Econ 101, remind me, economists like it when we get more done in a day?
Yeah, exactly. Productivity is how much output, economic output, you can produce in a given, say, hour of work.
And you'd think all these robots, all the silicon chips that surround us, that productivity would be shooting through the roof. That's not what we have found.
That's exactly right. And the fact is, we've seen over the past 15 years or so, productivity has lagged its long-term average.
What benefits do you think would accrue if we were to boost productivity further?
Well, look, let me first emphasize that increased productivity can drive wages up while holding inflation down because you get more done in a given unit of time. And there's a clear historical relationship between wages and productivity. But also, increased productivity will help us care for an aging population, and the U.S. population is aging. It also helps manage debt and meet social safety net program entitlements. So think Medicare, Social Security. And finally, in the face of the net zero transition, it'll help us get there more quickly and more affordably because it'll help build a capital base.
You've seen regional differences. Some places in the U.S. are just frankly more productive.
So we saw that there are 7 states that have both above average productivity and above average growth in productivity: California, Massachusetts, New York, Texas, Colorado, North Dakota, Washington State. And then there are about 25 states that have both below average productivity and they're growing productivity less quickly than the average.
And the laggards include, I've seen the list. I think it's Nevada, Michigan, Iowa, and Arkansas are on that list. Why? I mean, California may be more techie, even New York, Texas,
yeah.
I suppose.
What you just said, David, was what I thought we would see, which is, there's some industries that are just more productive and states with those industries are the more productive states. We find, in fact, that's not in general the bulk of the explanation, but instead states that are more productive are home to cities themselves that have been more productive and growing faster in their productivity.
There are many prescriptions that you offer. Let's pick a couple.
Give you a list. One is making sure that companies have strategies that are tuned to their technologies. Then, incredibly important, make sure that you're upskilling or reskilling your people so that they have the skills that they need to take most advantage of that technology.
Olivia White is director at the McKinsey Global Institute. A recent report from McKinsey is called Rekindling U.S. Productivity for a New Era. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to join you. Thank you.
We've been talking longer term. Short term, worker productivity has fallen from a pandemic peak. Fortune magazine had some charts this month suggesting a link to productivity dropping as people move back from remote work and back to the office. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.